This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
I want you to do something. I want you to stand to your feet, if you'd be so kind. We're taking our copy of God's Word. We're going to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. This is what 7, verse 7 and verse 8 says. God's Word says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover." That's what I want you to see, folks. Christ, our Passover. Amen. "Is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." A brief word of prayer. Jesus, I cannot. You never said I could. You can. You always said you would. Speak to us and through us today. Have your will, have your way. May the invitation be fruitful. And God, everything that happens, we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about understanding the Lord's Supper. Understanding the Lord's Supper. As Christians, ladies and gentlemen, we owe a deep debt of gratitude to the Jewish people. We owe a deep debt of gratitude to the Jewish people. The scripture that I just read to you was written by a Jew. We have a Bible that God used 40 men to write. 39 of them were Jewish. The apostles were Jewish. Jesus' mother and father were Jewish. Jesus was a Jew. The Bible says in John 4 and 22, salvation is of the Jews. There is no salvation outside of the Jewish people. And according to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, they were God's chosen people, are God's chosen people, and always will be God's chosen people. It's very clear. Now, let me give you some background. For 430 years, the Jewish people were in bondage in Egypt. 430 years. And God wanted them to be free. He wanted the people to be free. And he sent 10 different plagues to try to get Pharaoh to allow the people to go free. I mean, he sent a plague of darkness. He sent a plague of lice. He sent a plague of frogs. I mean, he wanted the people to be able to go free. But then we get to the 10th plague. And God said, "I'm going to do something. Here's what I'm going to do." He said, "I'm going to smite the firstborn of the Egyptian families. I'm going to kill the firstborn of the Egyptian families. Not only the firstborn of the humans, but of the firstborn of their animals. I'm going to smite the firstborn of all those families." But he said to the Israelis, he said, "I want you to do something. I want you to take a lamb, offer the lamb as a sacrifice, put the blood over the doorpost of your house, and when the death angel comes through, and the death angel sees the blood over the doorpost, the death angel will pass over you." So, ladies and gentlemen, for 1,500 years, the Jewish people celebrated Passover. 1,500 years. It was a seven-day feast. They celebrated Passover. That's what Jesus was doing, the scripture tells us. The scripture tells us, "And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you, before I suffer." Jesus was celebrating the Passover in the upper room when he instituted the Lord's Supper, and he said those words in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, "I am your Passover." I am your Passover. Now, here's what I want us to do. I thought about this celebration of Passover that the Jewish people literally do to this day. It's their main feast, this 7-day feast. And I noticed 5 things in their feast when they celebrate Passover. Number one, the lamb was spotless. The lamb was spotless. Look what Exodus says. The lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. What would they do? Here's what they would do. On the 10th day of the month, they would get a spotless lamb. Folks, it had to be without spot or without blemish. And from the 10th day to the 14th day, 4 days, they would just examine that lamb, because that little lamb had to be spotless. Even when they started the temple sacrifices, they would bring those lambs, but those high priests and priests would examine those lambs, because they couldn't offer up a sacrifice unless that lamb was a spotless lamb. But ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't end there. The lamb not only had to be spotless, but the lamb was sacrificial. Look what the scripture says in verse 6. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Josephus, the historian, said they would sacrifice the lamb at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, the very time that Christ was sacrificed. Now keep in mind, that was brought into the home on the 10th day. If you had children, had a wife, for 4 days, you spent time with that little lamb. For 4 days, you became attached to that little lamb. For 4 days, you started loving that little lamb. But something happened. After 4 days, that father would take a blade. He'd put his hand on the head of that little lamb. Then the head of that household, the father, would take a blade and he would rip that lamb's throat. And as he cut that little lamb's throat that the family was attached to, that blood would flow down into a bowl, much like this, because that blood was going to be offered up as a sacrifice for sin. See, I want you to understand, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But in the blood, there is life. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Here's what I want you to see. That lamb, oh, it was spotless. That lamb was sacrificial, but that lamb was saving. That lamb was saving. Look what verse 7 says. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on 2 side posts of the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. What did they do? Here's what they said. After you get that blood, then you take hyssop. It's grown all over Israel. Then you take hyssop and you dip it in that blood. And when you dip that hyssop in that blood, you go to the front door of your house and you put that blood on the top. And you put that blood on this side. And you put that blood on that side. And when the death angel comes through and he's smiting the firstborn of all of Egypt, when he looks on your house, when he looks on your door, when he sees the blood, that angel will pass over you. Oh, I want you to see something, folks. I want you to see the Lamb was spotless. I want you to see the Lamb was sacrificial. I want you to see the Lamb was saving. But I want you to see this. The Lamb was sufficient. The Lamb was sufficient. Look what verse 8 says. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. He said, wait, there's the Passover meal. You roast that lamb. You roast that lamb. Not only do you roast the lamb, but you have unleavened bread. What is unleavened bread? It's bread that doesn't have yeast in it. What does it symbolize? Well, it takes time for bread to rise. Remember, they left Egypt in a hurry. They left it not in a hurry. It symbolizes that the children of Israel left in a hurry. So wait. But also when they have the Passover feast, even this day, you put bitter herbs in it. Why the bitter herbs? It represents the bitterness of the bondage they were in. Now wait, folks. Get this. You sacrifice the lamb. And then you eat the lamb. Here's what I want you to see. The lamb was in them. The lamb was in them. The lamb was in them. Now wait. There's a fifth thing I want you to see about the lamb. The lamb was shared. Well, if you look at verse 4 of Exodus chapter 12, this is what it says. It says, if I have a large family, and maybe you're single or there's just two of you. When I sacrifice the lamb for my large family, you don't have to sacrifice a lamb. You may be a single person. What do? We share the lamb with you. We share our lamb with you. We share our lamb with you. And you get in our house. The lamb was shared. Now, as I looked at this Passover lamb and all the qualifications in the Bible, what makes Jesus, the Passover lamb? Folks, let me tell you, first of all, Jesus was the spotless lamb. Jesus was the spotless lamb. I'm so grateful that 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I want you to know 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him to be sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The lamb went into the home on the 10th day. They examined it to the 14th day. The priest had to examine the lambs. But I want you to know something. Herod said in Luke 23:15, this man's done nothing worthy of death. I want you to know, Pilate said in Luke 23:4, I find no fault in him. I want you to know, Judas said in Matthew 27:4, I have betrayed innocent blood. I want you to know Pilate's wife said in Matthew 27:19, he is a just man. I want you to know the centurion said in Luke 23:47, he is a righteous man. I want you to know that Jesus went through 6 trials, 3 Roman trials, 3 Jewish trials. After all the trials, they said, we find no fault in him. He was the spotless lamb, the perfect Son of God. Oh, folks. But he was not only the spotless lamb, but he was the sacrificial lamb. He was the sacrificial lamb. Can you imagine, folks? We talked about how that little lamb comes into the home on the 10th day. By the 14th day, it bound to have been hard for that father to rip that throat. But that pales in comparison. Because I want you to understand something. Jesus always was. Jesus always has been. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Genesis 1:26 says, let us make man in our image. God was talking to his son. Jesus didn't begin when the beginning began. He began the beginning. He didn't start with start. He started start. But wait. The day comes when God said, son, I'm going to have to rip your throat. Galatians 4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God gave him his son for us. Creationists say that this earth is 6,000 years old. But Peter says 1,000 years is as a day of the Lord, and a day is as 1,000 years. That little baby was kept into the home till the fourth day. 4,000 years. 4,000 years. So if the creationists are right, it was after the fourth day. God sent his son 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago to pay, ladies and gentlemen, our sin debt. And Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. And the Bible says they flogged him. They took a cat of nine tails. It had pieces of metal. It had pieces of steel. It had pieces of glass. And they beat him with 39 stripes. Literally, most men did not live through it. The intestinal tract would literally be jerked out. They plucked his beard as he walked through the crowd. They spit on him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They ridiculed him. They put him on a cross. And they nailed him to a cross, and he hung 6 hours on a cross, suspended between heaven and earth. He is our Passover. The Jewish people celebrate Passover. When they celebrate Passover, they use matzah. This is matzah. They take 3 pieces. 3 pieces representing Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I believe it's more. I believe it represents God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In that piece of matzah, you can look into that piece of matzah and you can see piercings. I believe it represents the piercings that went through his hands and went through his feet. There's stripes in the matzah. When they take the matzah, they take the middle piece. Jesus died on the middle cross. Why did they put him on the middle cross? Because you put the vilest of criminals on the middle cross. And they said he was the vilest of criminals. The precious Son of God. While they celebrate Passover, the Jewish people will take the piece of matzah, and they'll break it. They'll break it. Then they'll break it up. Break it up. Then they take one little piece and they put it in a pouch. And they take it and they hide it or bury it. And the children go find that that's been hidden or buried. Ladies and gentlemen, he was put in a borrowed tomb. But thank God on the third day he arose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Jesus was the spotless lamb. Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. But Jesus was the saving lamb. They said, wait. You take that blood. You take that blood. You say, Pastor Benny, you still preach that old slaughterhouse religion. Yes. I still believe it's the blood of Jesus. I still believe it's the blood of Jesus. I still believe it's the blood of Jesus. You take that blood, you put it at the top of the doorpost. Not only do you put it at the top of the doorpost, you put that blood on each side. That's why John the Baptist looked on that hillside in John 1 and 29 and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. What will wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Wait. There's something else I want you to see. Jesus was the sufficient lamb. Jesus was the sufficient lamb. Look at John chapter 19. Now therefore was set a vessel full of vinegar. And they filled a sponge with vinegar. Wait. And put it with hyssop. The very same thing that the blood was over the door and on sides of the door. And when Jesus saw the hyssop, I'm going to tell you something. I'm just about ready to run this place. I can't help it, folks. You said, Pastor Benny, it's just beside me why you act the way you do. Let me tell you, that's the problem. He's beside you instead of inside you. And when he gets inside you, you'll have something to be excited about other than just the Georgia Bulldogs. Amen? Or the Tennessee Vols or any of them. Oh, when he saw that hyssop, he said, it is finished. He said, Father, I have come. I've done everything that you've sent me to do. The debt is paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Now wait. They eat the lamb. And the lamb was inside of them. I've got good news. I've accepted the Lamb, And Colossians 1 and 27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ladies and gentlemen, I accepted the Lamb, and the Lamb lives within me, and the Lamb lives within you. And 1 John 4 and 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Oh, we're not alone. The Lamb of God lives within us. I gotta quit. But there's one more. The Lamb was shared. Remember? When you kill the Lamb, if a small household, you share the Lamb with them. You share the Lamb with them. Pastor Benny, how do you feel about preaching in a t-shirt? I'll be in a coat next week. Why are you wearing it? Because I want to share the Lamb. And now, don't you feel bad that didn't wear it today. I'm just glad you're here. But I want to share the Lamb. This morning I was driving to church. Been a while since they've been in church. Been a while since they've been in church. Let me stop by and egg them. Let me stop by and egg them. What you doing? Just trying to share the Lamb. Just trying to do what we're supposed to do. It takes 86 church members to bring one person to church. You know what that tells me? Lee, come. Lee, just come right here. Lee Perkins is part of my security detail. That tells me that Lee brings somebody and 85 other people don't bring anybody. It tells me that one person brings somebody and 85 other people don't bring anybody. Maybe see it. We don't share the Lamb. We don't share the Lamb. Somebody said, Pastor, Mike, I just don't know my purpose on earth. Oh, I'm going to help you. Look into this face. Here's your purpose on earth. It's to know him and to make him known. It's to know him and to make him known. It's to know him and make him known. It's to know him and make him known. You've got no other purpose other than that. I've been doing weddings now for over 40 years. I have fun at them. I enjoy officiating weddings. What's so funny is every time it happened yesterday. I did a wedding yesterday in Warm Springs, Georgia, and it happened. I've got old. You get old, you don't care anymore. Barbara said, it amazes me, Benny, the things that people say about you. I said, aren't we grateful they don't know all the truth? But yesterday it happened. Little groom slips up to me and says, do you have a fee for doing this? I always say, whatever you think she's worth. I said that one time and a guy gave me $10. He raised up the veil to kiss her. I slipped him $5 back. You say, well, Pastor Benny, I've never seen an ugly bride. And I said, you hadn't officiated as many weddings as I have. Amen. I had a wedding, Warm Springs. They said, can you meet with us for prayer before? I said, sure. I went in with a little bride, beautiful bride, handsome groom. I went in and prayed God's blessings privately on them, spent some time, gave them some pointers. They said, Pastor, we want you to do something. What do you want me to do? Sometime during our ceremony. Do it anytime you want to. Anytime during our ceremony. Stop. Call our names and say, They wanted me to take this opportunity to invite all of you to Easter services at Rock Springs Church. I've never had it to happen in 40 years of ministry. What were they saying? We're going to share the lamb. 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 You never know the impact. You never know the impact of sharing the lamb. Wherever you're at, you never know the impact. Let me tell you about one of the largest churches in America. My favorite preacher of all times was a preacher named Adrian Rogers. Listen to him sometime. That's how God's going to sound when you get to heaven. Adrian pastored, and the gentleman who followed him was a man by the name of Dr. Steve Gaines. He died. He was buried last Sunday. 68 years old. Dr. Steve Gaines followed Adrian Rogers, Bellevue Baptist. Steve said, "We were unchurched. We were lost as last year's Easter egg. My mother, diagnosed with cancer, was going to have a mastectomy. She went into the hospital room at night. In the morning will be the mastectomy. Our lady was in the hospital room with her." He said, "Pastor, we were lost." That lady started praying for healing for my mother. He said this. She prayed all night for healing for my mother. The next morning, they came in to do the mastectomy. They said, "We got to do one test before." After they did a few tests, they realized, it's gone. It's gone. And his mother said to that woman, "I don't understand. Tell me about this man, Jesus." And he said, "She led my mother to Christ. And my mama went home and led my daddy to Christ. And my daddy and mama took me to church. And I came to know Christ." I've heard Steve say many times, and he's there now. I can't wait to get to heaven and see that lady that's responsible for our family being in church, that's responsible for me being in heaven. All I'm saying, I'm imploring you, I'm begging you, share the lamb, share the lamb, share the lamb. Somebody's eternity may be waiting in the wings on whether or not we share the lamb.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.